Hey, what's up, kiddies? This is Bill from OutsideTheCinema.com, and you're listening to the Gore Press Gorecast. It fucking sucks, but deal with it.
Most high name of the Most High Spirit. In the name of the Most High Line of Judea, Haile Selassie. In the name of the Most High Duvalier and the Tantantmakut, I command you, awaken! Awaken! Perhaps here.
Give me a break. This is not Friday the 13th part Infinity here.
Welcome to the Gore Press Gorecast. It's been a while. I'm Dangerous Jamie.
Hi, and I'm Sarah. We did have a little bit of a hiatus, didn't we?
Another one.
Yes.
Fourth hiatus, maybe?
At least. Who knows? This one was my fault, though. Very much my fault.
So. It was a bit my fault, too. It's not really anyone's fault. You had bad, bad British teeth, so...
Something like that, yeah.
Are you all fixed now? You're good. You're all fine.
Yeah, more or less.
Good. So we're continuing on with our homegrown horror month. Kind of a misnomer this week with. I forgot what it's called. The Reflecting Skin.
Yeah, this. They were all your choices this month, weren't they?
Yeah.
So, is this a British horror film?
Yeah.
Okay, because it's not filmed in the UK, is it?
No, it's not filmed or set in the UK, but it was paid. it's paid for by the BBC and the British Film Corporation.
Right, fair enough.
And Philip Ridley is a British man, and I think it is a very British film. I guess we'll get into that in a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, despite how American it is, I still think it's pretty British.
Yeah, I guess we'll talk about that.
But before that, we're going to do our career retrospective. This week, we're going to do Viggo Mortensen, who is one of the main big cheese guys in The Reflecting Skin.
Yeah, well, he's top billed, anyway.
He definitely has the most amount of stuff
character
to do. Yeah. But just before we get into that, don't forget to go over to facebook.com/gorecast and like us over there. Send us feedback on... not Sagrit's podcast. that's the other one.
Don't send it there.
No one sends anything there, it's fine. podcast.gorepress.com and also go check out gorepress.com for all your reviews of things and competitions and good shit like that.
Stuff and that.
Good stuff and that. All of it.
Yeah.
So, Viggo Mortensen. I don't know how I feel about Viggo Mortensen.
I don't know if I feel anything about Viggo Mortensen, to be honest. I'm a little bit meh. He's a good actor, mostly.
Yeah, he's got a creepy fucking face.
I suppose. That's quite harsh.
His face is like... he's like a human scarecrow. But like a handsome one.
A handsome human scarecrow.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound positive. Even with the word handsome.
Yeah. That's true. I'm sorry.
He was in Witness. I didn't know he was in Witness. It's been a long time since I've seen that.
I don't think I ever got around to watching it.
Really? It's a good film.
Yeah.
I think we had to study it in media when I was in school.
Fair enough. I think, yeah, he is a good actor. Mm. He can put in a good performance when he's maybe jocked into it.
Yeah.
Let's just sort of go through from the beginning, right? There's a bunch of stuff that I haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
He was in one episode of Miami Vice. Prison, which is a sort of ghostly prison movie, which I guess we're going to cover next month.
Yes, yeah. It's one I haven't seen yet, but it was recommended to me by somebody. Somebody mentioned that it was quite an underrated film, so I thought we could give that a bash.
Well, we'll see if they're wrong.
Yep.
Something else, some of the stuff I haven't seen. Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3. I haven't seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3 in such a long time. I barely remember anything about it.
Me too.
Which one is it?
Just checking now.
It's been so long. What a cast, though.
Really?
Ken Foree, Ari Milanoff, Maya Loff, Lee Butler, Viggo Mortensen. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Alright, yeah.
Well, I have to rewatch this. I can't remember.
How many are there now?
Pardon?
How many are there?
Of what?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies.
Like
in the original sort of sequence, not including.
1, 2, 3. And then The Next Generation?
Was it just the. Right, okay.
I think so.
I thought I'd remembered a fourth. Maybe that's bollocks.
Well, there's The Next Generation. Is that not the fourth?
Oh, maybe.
That was
that the one with Matthew McConaughey in?
Yeah, and Renée Zellweger.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible. That was bad.
Are they doing a sequel to the remake?
Probably. Well, they did the prequel.
I own that, but I haven't seen it.
Meh. It's alright. Worth a watch, but don't get too excited.
I'm not. Don't worry. Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3. After that, he was in Tripwire, which is a silly sort of B movie action film, which I quite like. Then he was in The Reflecting Skin, which obviously we'll talk about in a little bit.
Yeah.
He was in Young Guns 2. I don't think I've ever actually seen Young Guns 2.
No, I don't think I have.
I feel like looking at a few of these films that Viggo was in, was he a sort of second tier Brat Pack member?
It would make sense.
Because, like, he was in... is it Fresh Horses? With Molly Ringwald and Andrew McCarthy.
Oh, definitely.
And then, obviously, Young Guns was a bit of a Brat Packy sort of deal.
Yeah.
So I wonder if he was, like, a sort of... yeah, second-tier Brat Pack kind of guy.
Yeah, could be.
Then he was in The Indian Runner.
Yeah,
what
I watched
that.
Indian
Runner?
It's a Sean Penn movie based on a Bruce Springsteen song, and it's actually really, really good. Really good. It's him and, oh crap, David Morse playing brothers.
Right.
Really, really great movie. It's really difficult to get hold of now, though, I think.
It's got Patricia Arquette in it, too, and Charles Bronson. This sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And Dennis Hopper. And Enzo Rossi. I don't know who that is. I was just picking the name out of the cast. Well, this sounds real good. I might have a look at this.
Mm.
It's the first movie in 16 years where Charles Bronson does not sport a moustache. In case you're wondering.
Is that in the trivia?
Yeah. Then he was in Boiling Point with Wesley Snipes, which is that a remake of Boiling Point, the Japanesey one?
I'm not sure. Let's have a look.
I guess it probably is. Maybe it's not. Yeah, it's a remake of the Takeshi Kitano film.
Okay. I don't think I've ever seen that. No,
the original.
Remake. No, I've seen the original, not the remake.
Right. Wesley Snipes is never good, is he?
he's often adequate.
I mean, we all love Simon Phoenix, but I don't think Wesley Snipes has ever put in an actually good performance.
Yeah, he's hard to say.
A bunch of stuff that I haven't seen. Then we've got American Yakuza, or American Yakuza, which... I remember seeing this as a child.
Probably shouldn't have
done. Well, yeah, obviously. And being just generally freaked out by this weird guy's face. And obviously that's Viggo Mortensen.
The weird handsome scarecrow.
Yeah.
That's strange.
He does. He's got a weird face. I mean, let's not beat around the bush. And like, but in the reflecting skin, he looks a lot like Bill Pullman, like scary Bill Pullman.
Yeah. Okay. I can see that.
Yeah. Good, because it's. Sorry. Other stuff. Passion of Darkly Noon, which you've seen and I haven't.
Yeah, some of the Philip Ridley one. Bonkers.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit last week, didn't we? They've got the amazing The Prophecy. Amazing film. I fucking love it. Some amazing Christopher Walken.
Amazingness.
Doing stuff. Being a badass angel. And it's rad. And I don't know what else to say other than it's fucking rad.
Well, leave it there then.
Have you
seen
it?
Quite a good review. I don't remember if I haven't seen it, no.
It's so good, right? Christopher Walken is just this fucking ridiculous... Well, he's the Archangel Gabriel.
Okay.
But he's all evil and shit. And, like, he comes to Earth to, like, fuck with everyone's business. And then he... like creates a ghoul in the form of Adam Goldberg to be his like bug eating sidekick, and then they just like fuck around and like other stuff happens and all that really matters, and Viggo Mortensen plays the devil.
Well, I'm sold.
It's fucking brilliant. And the second one's got Danzig in it as like,
fair enough,
as like a sort of demon-y angel type guy. It's fucking amazing. I love all of those films. So good. So good. What's next? He was in Crimson Tide with Brucey Willis.
Is that his full name?
Yes, it is.
But wait, hang on a second.
Go on.
Bruce Willis wasn't in Crimson Tide.
No, he wasn't. What am I thinking of?
I don't know. Isn't Crimson Tide like
Yeah.
Was it based on a book, or have I imagined that?
It might have been based on a book.
Like the guy who did Hunt for Red October and stuff. Who did Hunt for Red October? Have I imagined that?
No, it's not based on a book. You're a liar.
Well, I've imagined that then.
You have. Right. I need to know what
Bruce Willis
film.
Hunt for Red October.
Bruce Willis.
I think I know what you... I can picture the front cover. I know exactly what you're thinking of.
It's something Tide or Crimson something.
I'm not sure it is, but okay.
There's The Siege, but it's not The Siege.
No.
Mercury Rising?
Mercury Rising. That's the one I was thinking of.
It might be the one I'm thinking of as well. What's the one... No, I'm thinking of Striking Distance, where he's a boatman.
Oh, fuck, nice.
Where he is a boatman.
We deviated that far away from the original topic. I'm very confused now. Doesn't take much.
Doesn't matter. It's all good. Where are we? Crimson Tide. Okay. That's not the film I thought it was. But this looks like it's probably a better film than the film I thought it was.
Yeah.
What a cast. Again. Denzel, Gene Hackman, Viggo, James Gandolfini, Ricky Schroeder.
Are you just reading names again?
Well, I'm reading the ones I know, and then
who's
I'm thinking
Ricky
like.
Who's Ricky Schroeder?
I don't know. Was he in a remake of Vanishing Point? Viggo Mortensen and Jason Priestley. Wow.
In a remake of Vanishing Point.
Yeah.
How did I not know that existed?
Me, I don't know, but it looks amazing. Have you clicked on it?
Yeah.
Look at the cover.
Look at his weird scarecrow-y face.
See, you see what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, I might have to watch that.
Me too. It's got Steve Rells back in it as well.
It's going to be awesome, isn't it?
Obviously. Jason Priestley's face looks weird. He looks like Jack out of Will and Grace.
He does a little bit.
Not that I watch Will and Grace, obviously.
I might call bullshit on that.
Damn it.
He was in A Perfect Murder.
That's the one with Oldie McWeirdface.
Oldie McWeirdface, Michael Douglas.
Chicken Neck, yeah, Michael Douglas.
Yes.
Okay, I don't think I've seen that. I remember it being advertised and not caring.
Yeah, it was as remakes go, it wasn't very good.
I think anything with Gwyneth Paltrow in, just like,
is subpar.
I don't know. Pardon?
Is subpar, generally.
She just seems to suck the life out of anything she's in.
Yeah. I'm not a fan.
Me neither. It's got David Suchet in it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. I once went to an acting class that he taught. Obviously,
did you learn
not
anything
very
good?
I don't remember. I was about 14. Okay. He was in the remake of Psycho.
He was in the remake of Psycho. He agreed to be in the remake of Psycho.
I remember watching the remake of Psycho in the cinema.
Right.
And, like, I don't really remember much about it. The only thing that I really remember is, like, the peephole wank scene.
Funnily enough.
Yeah.
That was pretty uncomfortable.
Just because, like,
just because it's Vince Vaughn. It was just a bit, I don't know.
It's because he's so money.
It's not. I just don't like thinking of him in that capacity. It weirded me out. See,
this has got an amazing cast.
I was just
going
to say the exact same thing. Why did all these people agree to do this?
I don't know, but there's definitely a scene in the shower where you can see Anne Heche's butthole.
Okay.
I found that out from listening to one of the Kevin Smith podcasts. I don't remember which one. And it's true. I went back and looked, and you can definitely see Anne Heche's butthole.
Okay. I'm going to take your word for that rather than checking.
Well, you can check.
I'm okay.
Also, right, James Remar is a vastly underrated actor.
James Remar. Ajax.
He's Ajax, or yeah. Harrison Dexter Dad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he crops up in a lot of stuff, but he's not nearly as well known as he should be.
Yeah, he's one of those. He's one of those great dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like Psycho, this remake, I might even watch it again because I don't remember anything about it.
Don't. I remember getting really angry actually because the Canterbury University did like a week, a horror retrospective week, where they have like a really small cinema and they have themed weeks very occasionally where they show films quite cheaply.
Right.
And I remember going because I got to see The Shining on the big screen, which was amazing, and they had that, yeah. And I think there was the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I can't remember what else, Silence of the Lambs, something else, and then the fucking Psycho remake, not even the original, the remake. Why would you throw that in there amongst those classics?
Because it's a classic, obviously. Vince Vaughn is best.
Alright, shall we move on? We've been talking about this for really long time, actually. Anything else?
Go on, we'll quickly zip through the rest of them. I'm on the wrong window. 28 Days, which is the prequel to 28 Days Later, with what's her name? With Sandra Bullock. History of Violence, which I love. I've skipped over The Lord of the Rings because I don't like them.
Well, everybody knows about it, though. There's no point in us touching on that.
History of Violence, which I think is great. He's great in that.
Yeah.
And Eastern Promises, which is even better, I think.
I haven't History seen that.
Have you not?
No.
Oh, it's very good. That's all.
That sounded so sarcastic.
No, it's really good. Who's in it? Who's the woman? Who is she? Tell me.
Who's
Tell
the,
me the internet.
Who's the, what?
Naomi Watts. Naomi Watts is a woman, and she gets all muddled up with all these Russian gangsters, and then shit is all Russian gangstery, and it's badass.
Okay.
But Vincent Cassell plays a Russian guy, and Viggo Mortensen play a Russian guy. Like, they're not Russian guys.
It's acting.
Yeah, I know, but...
Are you familiar
they're just weird guys to pick to be Russian guys, especially Vincent Cassell because he's so very French.
True.
And Naomi Watts is an English woman.
I do sometimes wonder why they do that because there must be umpteen Russian actors who could play the part better. And
well, Viggo Mortensen's pretty great. I mean, Vincent Cassell. I can't look at Vincent Cassell without being just seeing Vincent Cassell, because it's just Vincent
Cassell. How are the accents, though? Because I find that really, really distracting if the accents aren't sort of on the money.
I don't really know any Russian guys, so... I mean, the only Russian accents I've ever really heard is from films anyway.
Fair enough. Okay, anything else worth mentioning? He's in The Road.
Oh, he is in The Road. I like The Road. It's just there, though, isn't it?
I haven't seen it. I think Dave reviewed it for the site, but I haven't actually watched it.
Isn't he in that dirty sex film with Keira Knightley? I'm looking at it. It's called A Dangerous Method.
He plays
Sigmund Freud.
Oh.
And Michael Fassbender plays Carl Jung.
Right, okay, I know what you're talking about.
And isn't there loads of like day sex in it? I haven't seen it, obviously.
I haven't seen it either.
I think there's loads of S&M in it or something.
Fair enough.
Yeah, whatever.
That's about it, really.
Should we have a bit of a break and then come back and talk about the reflecting skin?
Let's do that, because that went on far longer than I expected it to.
It really did. Yeah. Cool, back in a moment.
Are you tired of the same old pop culture podcast? Do you listen to those other podcasts and think to yourself, why aren't they talking about the things I'm interested in? Hi, I'm Reverend Scott, and when I want to listen to a couple of guys with their appendages on the pulse of pop culture,
penis,
I listen to the Are You Serious podcast. Hear news about politics and religion, where hosts Chris and Frank ask the tough questions.
If you woke up with a cock in your mouth, would you take it or leave it?
Yeah, exactly. How big is the cock?
You'll hear entertainment news about your favorite movies and TV shows, plus plain old wholesome discussion about the lives of Chris and Frank.
I mean, now I am, like, tattooed. It's weird. It's like I guess I should explain what I got.
Yeah.
It's 3 swastikas.
Each one interconnected to look like a smiley face.
And on my left arm is cock and balls. And notice I looked at my right
arm.
Character
from an old Disney film.
It's the prequel to Song of the South.
Exactly.
No, I have,
it's called Song of the Cock and Balls.
It sounds like this.
So when you think pop culture podcast, remember this.
What's that thing between the dick and the asshole?
The Are You Serious Podcast on iTunes or areyouseriouspodcast.com.
Ridley's 1990 film, The Reflecting Skin.
Yes.
You've got a synopsis DVD box type deal for us, haven't you?
Use your words. Yes, I do. Yeah, and it's not an epic one. Not massively epic this time, anyway. So, I have got the Region 1 Miramax first time on DVD. Because it's not actually available on Region 2, is it?
Is it not?
No, it's pretty hard to get hold of. I'm going to talk to you about in a minute, actually. Anyway, on the back of here it says, Seth is a mischievous 8-year-old growing up in the harsh realities of 1950s rural Idaho. He lives at home with his strict mother and guilt-ridden father, helping at the family gas station and waiting for his brother Cameron to return from the Pacific. But his whole world changes the day he decides to... Huh? Oh. The
day... Use your words.
I'm trying. But his whole world changes the day he decides the widowed neighbour woman, Dolphin Blue, is a vampire. Inspired by his father's stories, Seth begins to believe that she is responsible for the terrible events happening around him. His obsession continues to grow when Cameron comes home and falls head over heels for his worst enemy. So yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
There you go.
So, go on, what do you want to talk about?
Well, when we first chose this, and I think you mentioned it in a podcast whenever we first announced the films we were doing this month, and I think you said something to the effect of, because it was in reference to the feedback that we got saying that our choices were sometimes a bit too obscure.
Right.
And I think your response was something like, oh, I don't know anyone who hasn't seen The Reflecting Skin.
I don't know if I've
said
that.
But I will counter that with, I didn't know... You did? You did.
Oh, well, it's quite a popular...
But I'm going to counter that with, I didn't know anyone who had seen it, to be honest.
I guess I just run in more kind of circles than you.
You do, obviously. All my friends that are listening to this are going to hate you now.
I'm sorry.
Go on.
Well, after I saw Heartless, I just had conversations with, like, everyone about how great The Reflected Skin was and how I should probably watch it.
Okay.
So I assumed it was quite a popular film.
I don't know how popular it is, to be honest. It's... People seem to say good things about it. I mean, it's got 7.1 out of 10 on IMDb. I think, like, 75% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not that that's the most reliable source. But, yeah, so...
Hat sauce.
I mean, critics seem to like it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, you and your puns. Anyway.
Yeah, so let's talk about this film then, shall we?
Let's do
right.
that. Is it a horror, first of all?
I think it is.
It's, it definitely, you know, has elements of...
Do you know what it reminds me of? It's like... A
Go
different
on.
Take on Fright Night.
Very different.
Well, yeah. But, like, a lot of the themes are quite similar. Well, like, the main sort of...
Well,
I think my neighbour's a vampire.
Potential
type.
Vampire neighbour. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, less true in this case.
Well, spoiler alert.
Oh, come off it. People know that already.
Yeah, I mean, so she might be a vampire, she might not. She's not.
She's not, yeah.
And it reminds me of lots of things.
Okay.
Like watching it. Like, there's moments where it's like, it's pretty much like The Wicker Man. Mm. There's moments where it's like Twin Peaks. Like, the whole, the sheriff is just like they just borrowed him from Twin Peaks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it gets likened to Lynch films quite a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, I couldn't see why.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely a lot of Lynchian-esque weirdness going on in there.
Lynchian-esque?
It's Saturday, I turned my brain off yesterday. Working week's over, man.
Sorry. So, the film starts off with these three fucking scrotum kids blowing
they are
into a frog's anus.
Yes.
And then popping it with a catapult.
Yeah.
I was eating noodles when the film started, and I was put right off my food, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. That's about the only gore that's in it, though, isn't there?
Well, I read somewhere that one of Philip Ridley's choices was to have the corpses completely blood-free.
Yeah.
To sort of highlight the sort of the sadness of death. Like,
how does that work, then?
Just because it's like... They just look really peaceful.
Surely that makes it seem better.
No, it's like...
So it's all right. They're peaceful. They're fine.
I think it was like a thing. I don't know how to finish that sentence. I'm sorry.
It was a thing. Something happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah. So there's an atmosphere that hangs over this film. It feels also a bit like The White Ribbon, which was a Michael Haneke film.
Yeah. It was very atmospheric. I think they did a pretty good job at ramping up the tension.
Oh, the music was amazing.
Yeah, a little bit. It's quite oppressive, which might be an intentional choice.
I think it was almost certainly intentional.
Because, yeah, to kind of reflect the oppressive environment that the kid's growing up in, I suppose.
Yeah.
I thought that worked really well.
The cinematography was just incredible.
Oh, it was beautiful. Yeah, it looked amazing.
Like, if you didn't get anything out of this film, then at least it was fucking good to look at.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you get anything out of this film?
Difficult. I quite enjoyed it, I think. I'm still not sure. Do you know, it's 2 days since I watched it, and I'm still not sure.
Yeah.
I spent the entire running time, just in a bit of a kind of what the fuck daze.
Yeah.
And then it finished, and I thought about it quite a lot. And I'm still not sure whether I liked it or not. It left me a little bit disoriented. I think I did.
That's the plan, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sort of shake you a little bit.
Yeah, it's memorable for sure.
Mm.
What about you?
Not without. I mean, I like it.
Yeah.
I hate watching it, but I like having watched it.
Had you seen it before?
No, I don't. I don't think I had. I feel like I thought I had, and then maybe I've seen like bits.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've seen it all. I definitely don't remember feeling like that before, and I feel like if I had seen it before, then I would remember the feeling, because it's not a very nice feeling.
No. But the whole thing's almost quite, well, very dreamlike.
Yeah.
It's quite slow.
It is. It's a horror film in the same way that I would say Pan's Labyrinth is a horror film.
Yeah.
Although Pan's Labyrinth has got, like, monsters and stuff.
And this is more the horrors of real life.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
But, like, it has all that same sort of dreamlike quality of Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I mean by, like, it's quite British, well, quite European, rather, in, like, its sensibilities, as well as it being very American, like American Gothic.
It was, yeah, it was very, it had a very Gothic feel, didn't it?
Yeah.
I guess that was the sort of, I don't know, the clothes that they wore, and it was all almost quite sort of Mormon and, well, fundamentalist Mormon anyway.
Yeah, like
that
repressed
sort of thing. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and there's themes of oppression all the way through it. Like, you've got the reaction to when, or the sort of the deputy's reaction to, what's the kid's called? The Seth's dad's homosexuality.
Yeah. Alleged paedophilia.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I originally thought the film was quite misogynistic, and then I thought it was quite homophobic. And then I kind of just decided it's maybe just a bit misanthropic.
Yeah.
Like, while I don't think Philip Ridley is a homophobe or a misogynist, I think those are the themes throughout the film. Like, just sort of general, this is not very nice. This is bad type thing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not entirely sure what he was trying to say with the film. But I certainly think he was trying to say something. I don't think it just sort of exists.
Well, I think it's definitely about the horrors of, well, like, I think it's all explained in the speech by Dolphin Blue, where she's like, "You'll grow old and you'll shit yourself and all this stuff."
Yeah, that was cheery, wasn't it?
Yeah. But, like, I think that was that moment in the film which explains what the whole film's about. I think she puts it as the nightmare of childhood.
Yeah, well, that's sort of that scene. I don't know, I feel like we should explore the beginning a little bit more, but while we're on the subject, that scene to me sort of signified the end of his innocence.
Yeah, well, I think that's the point of the film, is the end of his innocence.
Yeah.
And, like,
because, I mean, obviously, go on.
He was a shit.
Yeah, he was a bit of a dick, yeah.
Like,
and a bit mad as well.
Yeah.
What with finding a desiccated baby corpse in the barn and going, oh, I'll keep that. Yeah, I'll talk to it.
There was, the scenes where he's talking to that little, like, dead baby.
Yeah, which he, we should probably explain, kind of, if you haven't seen it, obviously, he decides that that's his dead friend as an angel.
Yeah.
Because they do sort of, like, they touch on that earlier on, don't they?
He makes up a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like the vampire stuff, like, oh yeah, she's a vampire because she's got her husband's sweat in a box.
Well, I don't think he makes it up. I think he's genuinely quite convinced of that fact.
Well, yeah, but, like, I don't know why that would make anyone a vampire. Or, like, why if you get murdered, then you don't get to go to heaven and your wings fall off and you get thrown back to Earth.
Well, that one I can kind of understand the sort of skewed religious logic behind it, because obviously Christians, Catholics and whatever are told that if you commit suicide, you don't go to heaven. So maybe it's a similar thing. If you're murdered, you can't... I don't know, maybe something to do with that sort of theology. So that sort of makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, the vampire stuff was sort of fed into by his dad's stories in the comic book that he had, and the fact that she was really cryptic and started talking about being 200 years old, and...
I think the reason he thought she was a vampire is because the picture on the book cover just looked like her.
Well, yeah. Outfit,
like,
and everything.
Like her house and stuff.
Yeah.
I think that was the only reason that he really thought, like, if it was a picture of, like, Dracula, he wouldn't be like, well, that's her.
Yeah. Because a lot of people's theory is that she was not real, that she was representational of something or other.
Well, the thing that I read was that the guys in the car weren't real.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were a sort of physical representation of his desire to murder and stuff.
Yeah, I'm inclined to get on board with that theory.
I don't think so.
Nobody else sees them, though, apart from him. Apart from the very end, when she gets in the car.
Should we hop back to the beginning?
Yeah.
And maybe come back to this towards the end?
Yeah, let's do that.
So, when Seth's friend Abin is found dead in the family well,
mm-hmm.
Sheriff Ticker, with his marigold wooden hand,
mm-hmm.
which is rubbish. The only worst fake hand I've ever seen is in
Happy Gilmore.
No, the Happy Gilmore fake hand is really a fake hand. But in, like, Repo Man, it's just some tinfoil made to look like, so it's, people think it's a robotic hand, but it's just some tinfoil on a hand. And in this, it's just a rubber glove. And you can clearly see he's holding something, so his hand stays in that position.
Yeah.
Which is a bit lame. But that character's fucking badass.
He's horrible.
With his eye patch and his... And he definitely touches the kid.
Yeah.
In the conversation where he's like, did your dad touch you? And the guy's like, yeah, he touched me in the kitchen. But, and then he definitely touches him on the knob.
Yeah. Well, there's a whole kind of... The theme of child abuse is sort of interwoven throughout the entire film.
Yeah.
In some manner or other. Yeah, it's all a bit creepy.
Yeah.
But it wasn't him who came out to the house, was it? It wasn't him that accused the dad
of
being the one.
No, it was the deputy.
Yeah. And obviously at that point, the dad goes outside and...
Hey, someone just set the fire alarm off in my house. Do you hear that?
As I was just about to talk about the dad indulging in a bit of self-immolation.
See, that scene is so homoerotic.
Did you, like, think?
The way he fellates the petrol pump.
Is that going to stop anytime soon?
I don't know. Maybe.
I feel like it's one of those noises to test your hearing, you know, like those noises that you're not supposed to be able to hear if you're over 25.
Well, you can hear it, so
there we go! I was waiting for that.
It's like you set that one up for me.
I'm
over 25 too. There you go, it stopped.
Wicked. Carry on.
What were we saying? Something about the reflecting skin or something?
the petrol pump.
Oh yeah, like it was kind of homoerotic. Do you not think it was homoerotic?
I don't know. Maybe I wasn't thinking about it thoroughly enough.
I got the impression that he's maybe threatened to do that before.
Mm.
Like the way that the mum was saying how his clothes just smell so much like petrol.
Yeah.
And like this was the inciting incident that drove him to actually light the match.
Mm.
But again, I read somewhere that people think that that Seth set the match off because the matches are the same as the ones that he had in a different scene.
Do you agree with that?
I don't know.
I don't think I do.
There was definitely a scene as well where Seth has the vampire book and puts it under his pillow, and then like later on his dad has it again.
Mm.
So I don't know. But like also the scene where the deputy comes round, I think him and Sheriff Ticker are meant to just sort of represent how repressed everything was in the 50s.
Yeah.
I think it's the line where he says Sheriff Ticker knows everything and what he doesn't know he suspects.
Yeah.
Sort of saying like, well, everything he knows is right and everything he suspects is right too.
Mm.
Your dad's a dirty pedo.
Yeah. That wasn't a direct quote, by the way.
It definitely was. Yeah. And I don't know. It's a weird fucking film.
Mm. Is that your review?
What else happens? Go on. So then...
Well, we touched on it a little bit before, but the kind of rockabilly-looking guys, the greasers in the hearse-looking car,
yeah,
that show up. They show up right at the beginning, don't they? Before his dad actually kills himself.
Yes,
that's their first appearance. And then later on, Seth sees his other friend sort of being abducted by them in the car.
Yeah,
while he's standing and watching. So obviously at that point it's implied, or well, not implied, quite heavily hinted at that they're the ones that are killing everybody.
Yeah.
But that's
and
what
I think is that Seth is just like doing nothing about it because he doesn't understand what's going on. He's too busy believing that Dolphin's the killer.
Well, no, I think he does know what's going on. Because
he
that's why he, yeah, like at the very end when she's going to get into the car.
Well, I think he gets it then.
Yeah, he knows full well what's going to happen to her.
Yeah.
And lets it happen. And then I think that is the catalyst for sort of the end of his childhood innocence, and that's why he reacts the way he does right at the very end.
Yeah, which is fucking terrible.
It is awful.
Well, the kids, all the kids are really terrible, terrible
yeah.
actors.
Yes.
And like.
And most of the adults.
Well, some of them just play it really big, like the mum. Mm. I think she was directed to play it really big, and the dad as well. I mean, Viggo Mortensen's spot on, and Lindsay Duncan's really good too.
I wasn't a fan of her performance.
Were you not?
No, I thought some of the delivery was really cringy.
I mean, it was, and if you're gonna. Masturbate, you probably choose a comfier chair.
Yeah.
But,
and what was with the weird naked hug? Like, she nudged him up and then, oh, just for a hug? That's weird. No? You don't remember that?
I do remember that.
Mm.
But I think that was there to show how helpless Viggo Mortensen's character was meant to be in the eyes of Seth.
Right.
Like, how he was sort of naked like a baby and she was sort of cradling him essentially. And obviously Seth thinks that her brother's helpless against this vampire woman, so I think that was like a visual representation of that rather than them just getting nude and yeah.
Okay, so what else happened? that you think is worth mentioning?
You know what?
The weird dead baby genuinely freaked me the hell out.
Yeah.
Just the way he held it and talked to it so matter-of-factly.
Well, like, I think that would have weirded me out had the child not been such a fucking terrible actor. It was like school play level acting from that main kid.
It wasn't like, good.
Kids can be good fucking actors. We've seen it. Like, yeah. Look at Haley Joel Osment. I mean, he's got a weird robot face, but he's a good actor.
Yeah.
And like, who else? Who's a good kid? Name one.
A good kid.
Actor. Good kid actor. There's that one that's in all the things. He was in Boy Meets World, and he was in some other stuff. I think he was Mikey in Look Who's Talking, but he was a bit too young to actually act in that.
I don't know who you mean.
The kid that was Mikey in Look Who's Talking, and he played someone's kid in Boy Meets World. Oh, I don't fucking know. Bam. That one.
I'm going to have a look. Is that the only one we can think of? Oh my god, there were like four people that played Mikey.
Oh, maybe I'm lying.
I think you are. So some kid is really good at acting, and this kid isn't, basically.
Isn't it funny that all the kids that played Mikey all start with the letter J? Mm-hmm. Oh, damn it, Christopher Aiden, you fucked it.
You've ruined the alliteration. Anyway.
Anyway. Yeah, but like, kids can be good actors. Well, they can at least be not shit actors.
They can be better than this, that's yeah. For sure. What was the point we were making? Was that it?
The kid was terrible.
He's shit, yeah.
So bad. Like, the way the bad level that he is sentencing is, it's just, like, off the charts. Like, yeah. The worst.
He's not been in very much, though, has he? Surprisingly. Didn't get hired after that. It was, like, 6 years between each credit. Oh, do you think he is just this jobbing actor going around auditioning constantly?
I don't know, but...
This is just whispers of, hey, who's that kid in the reflecting skin? Don't hire him.
Look at his what's her name's credits though. Mm. Ishmael's Son 3, Hampton Eagle Intern 2, Doc Schneider.
Uncredited. Glittering career. What are you talking
imagine
about?
Imagine like, right, I don't know what Dangerous Crosswinds is, but I imagine if you're Hampton Eagle Intern number 2, you're pretty low down on the totem pole.
Yeah, I would say that was safe to say.
Yeah.
So yeah. How many Philip Ridley movies have you actually seen?
This and Heartless.
Just those two. And how
is
do you think
more?
They... Yeah, of course. He's done like 5, 6 maybe? I don't know. A few.
He's directed 5, 2 shorts, 3 features.
And he wrote The Craze, didn't he?
Yeah, and Vincent River. I almost said, and TV movie. But he wrote Vincent River, which was a TV movie.
Right. So, how do you think... So, Heartless was his latest one.
Yeah. Have you seen Heartless?
No, still haven't, actually. Reflecting Skin was his first.
Yeah.
Well, then, feature length, anyway. How do you think they compare? How do you think he's come on in all that time? Because it's nearly 20 years between the two.
Yeah, well, Heartless is a very different film. Mm. It's still really well shot. It's not quite as, like, beautiful. And maybe, like, one of the comparisons of the visuals I'd make is, like, almost like Sergio Leone type stuff. Like, lingering shots of faces. And, like... The kid was chosen because he's got a good face, not because he could act.
Mm.
Like, his face sort of just conveys that innocence, doesn't it?
Yeah.
In Heartless, it's not quite as stunning to look at. I mean, Reflecting Skin is set in, like, the beautiful plains of Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
Heartless is set in, like, East London or South London or something.
Grim.
On several like different council estates.
Right, so quite different then.
Yeah. If I'm going to get a little bit spoilery, they share some of the same themes, sort of the hiding from something horrible by sort of descending into your own imagination, which is a big spoiler for Heartless, so fuck you. And so yeah, there's some through lines. I haven't seen The Passion of Darkly Noon. I don't know if that's a through line in there as well.
Yeah. Well, from what you've said about Heartless, I'd imagine, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe that's just something that he's interested in as a writer and a director.
Mm. I mean, doesn't he write children's books as well?
I hope not.
I'm pretty sure he does, and he's a playwright, I think.
He's definitely a playwright.
I thought he wrote
children's He's wrote three
books.
Novels for children.
Yeah. Do you know, I once sold a DVD to Philip Ridley.
Yeah, what was it?
I can't remember. Can't have been that good if I was selling it.
I remember because you sent me his email address so I could try and annoy him.
Yeah.
But it was
too
something like
to.
philip_ridley@aol.com and I wasn't convinced. So I never actually emailed him.
It was him.
Pardon?
It was him.
How do you know?
Because I did my Google foo and figured it all out.
Did you Google Philip Ridley and were like, yeah, it's him?
Yeah, that's the extent of it, pretty much.
I thought so.
So yeah, is there anything else we need to talk about, or?
What else have I got here? One of the decisions that the characters make really bugged me. Just to get back to like some of the good stuff.
Yeah.
Between like. I know you said you didn't really like Lindsay Duncan's performance, but I quite did.
Okay.
And the scene where he goes to her house and she gives him the harpoon and stuff.
Yeah.
That fucking broke me. Like, it's only about maybe 15, 20 minutes in. And I wasn't really sure what I was getting into. And I was like, okay, this is sort of maybe a bit Stand By Me-ish. Whatever, and then that scene where she's just sort of pining over her dead husband, and like the tone that leads up to that, and then how it's difficult to put into words how like the whole film is sort of changed irrevocably by that scene, and she smells his bay rum and that's the smell of him, and she sort of breaks down, and it just sort of, I think that's the moment of the film where you're either with it or you're not.
Yeah, I'd agree
like
with that.
If you don't buy into that scene, then you're not going to buy into the rest of the film.
No.
And like, no matter how sort of clunky some of the dialogue is and how maybe pretentious and overwrought the very last bit is. I think overall it's a fucking good film.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy watching it, like I said.
I mean, there's so many disturbing events in the movie and so much disturbing imagery that I don't think it's a film you can really enjoy as such. You can appreciate it. But I think enjoy is
It's not irreversible.
Not that kind of disturbing. I mean, that's ridiculously visceral, and like, I honestly don't think I could sit through that film again. Whereas the Reflecting Skin, I could watch again.
Yeah,
it's not like
would you
it
watch
emotionally
it again?
Scarred me. Yeah, probably not for a long time. I'd leave it a while.
Yeah, I think maybe the sort of film you can sort of check in with every 5 years or so.
Yeah, like it's not something. Like, some films I watch and go, oh my god, that was amazing, I have to watch it again immediately. Definitely wasn't one of those.
It wasn't Summer of the Massacre.
No. That I watched twice in the same day. Do you know what? I watched Birdemic last night.
I love it.
And all I could think of throughout the entire film was if only Bryn Hammond had put some poorly realised CGI birds in his movie, he'd have had a hit on his hands.
It's almost exactly the same film, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's even the bits where they're like pulled over at the side of the road and the cars are just driving past like yeah. everything's fine.
But everything's deserted. Yes. Oh shit, there's traffic in the background. Yeah. It's the guy at the gas station. That was my favourite bit.
Where he's like, $100. We should talk about this off air, because it's yeah. like, we're getting a bit off topic.
We are. I watched it with Riff Tracks, though, that was cool.
Pardon?
I watched it with Riff Tracks.
I love the Riff Tracks.
It was very funny. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess that's my summing up of the invisible skin, the flexing skin.
Yeah.
Imagine if your skin was invisible.
Again, a discussion for off air, perhaps. So what would you give it out? It would be shit, yeah. Pretty unpleasant.
At least you'd have skin, though. It's better than not having skin at all.
Yes, Jamie. What would you give the reflecting skin out of 10?
I would probably give it an 8.
As high as an 8, wow.
As a film, it's an 8. As a watching experience, it's probably like a 5. Maybe even a 4. It's not fun to watch.
No. Oh, God,
but
no.
But it's up there with films like Lost Highway, which is my favourite Lynch, like mainstream Lynch film. And it's beautifully shot. Like, I can't stress that enough.
Yeah, the cinematography is just exquisite.
It really is. It's probably one of the most beautiful films that I've not seen before recently.
Yeah.
Well, like, I watched Antichrist again the other day, and I fucking love Antichrist. And it's beautiful. And it's probably my favourite film to look at.
I could just have done without seeing Willem Dafoe's wang that close up.
Oh, well.
In the opening scene.
Well, I mean, we live and learn, don't we? I think seeing his wang in the opening scene is fine. It's when you see his wang later again at the end. It's not so fun.
Yeah. But, we'll stop talking about that right there. So, we should make it a thing where we only spoiler one film.
We've already spoiled like 3. I spoiled Heartless.
I mean, like from now.
Okay.
From future podcasts.
Okay. Bruce Willis is dead at the end of Success. And that's our one.
Right. Okay. So,
it was a man in the crying game.
Oh, come off it. What was Rosebud?
Soylent Green.
Anyway, I don't think I'd go as quite as high as that was a really bad sentence. I don't think I'd go quite as high as an 8 for this.
Right.
Maybe 7. But again, I agree on the whole kind of viewing experience sort of being a different factor.
Yeah.
Like
viewing the film as a whole, like after you've seen it, it's very different to when you're watching it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, because it's not necessarily pleasant to watch,
yeah,
but afterwards when you start thinking about it.
Yeah, it's the sort of film where you need to sit down, have a coffee, and look out of a window when it's done.
Yeah, and you probably will have to, because it's the sort of thing that will just kind of knock you for 6 and make you go, right, okay,
yeah.
What was I doing? This is weird.
And like, I mean, it's not all roses. So like I say, the acting's pretty bad. Some of the dialogue is pretty, like, awful.
Yeah.
Some of the symbolism is... Some of it's really heavy-handed, and then some of it's really masked in, like, enigma.
Yeah. I think watching the film, it's quite obvious that Philip Ridley was previously a playwright. Because I think it's the sort of thing that would translate well to the stage, maybe.
Yeah, I would say so. So, we'll be back next week to talk about British horror and stuff. We say next week, might be 4 weeks time.
Let's hope not.
So, if you want to send us feedback for that show, talk about your favourite British horror films, mm-hmm. or like other stuff.
Or if you particularly like, enjoyed or hated any of the movies we've covered.
I don't even know what we covered.
Frightmare, Reflecting Skin, shit, what was the other one?
Wait, is this any
weird Extro, thing? Extro.
Extro, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Extro.
How could we forget Extro?
I don't know. Maybe like it came and wiped our memories.
Maybe. So yeah, if you've got anything to say about those three films.
Yeah, or any experiences of British horror films, or being in Britain, or like being somewhere ever.
Just tell us, please. Yeah, give please us feedback.
Email us, email us over at podcast@gorepress.com.
Yep.
Always like the Facebook.
Yeah.
Facebook.com/gorecast.
Go on into the current competition at gorepress.com yes. to win Grave Encounters on DVD.
Have you seen Grave Encounters?
Yes, I've got a
Did
review.
Did you say it was really good?
I didn't say it was really good. I didn't say anything about it, and I'm not going to because my review goes on the site on Monday. So.
Right. I read somewhere that it was really good.
Mm, did you?
You're such a bastard. An old bastard, the worst kind.
There we go.
And is there another competition coming up? I guess by the time this is live, it'll be on the site, won't it?
Yeah, Monday, which will be the 23rd, I guess.
Yeah.
We'll be doing a quick competition to win tickets for a screening of Silent House.
Right.
So yeah, keep an eye out for that as well.
Silent House is a remake, I think.
I'm not sure. We talked about this. You weren't sure whether you'd seen it or not, were you?
I hadn't. I'd seen Martha May Marley Moomoo.
I'm pretty sure that's it, yeah. That's the title.
Is it
yeah.
Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene?
Yes.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd rather watch
I preferred yours.
Well, join us next week for some wrap up times mm-hmm. and some DVD news.
And hopefully it'll be shorter than this one. Maybe. Who knows? He's too busy. He's too busy for us.
He is. Too busy watching the Avengers. I'm jealous.
I know, bastard. Anyway.
Yeah, so we'll catch you next week for that.
Yep.
Bye, everyone. Bye.
Meatball, hanging overhead, flushed out like Frankenstein. One more for the living dead. That's not me this time. Before